Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Narad Muni continued, "Now I shall describe the places where religious performances may be well executed. Any place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation, with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is a most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned Brahmanas observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education, and mercy are also most auspicious and sacred." Purport. In this verse, it is indicated that a Vaishnava temple where the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is worshipped and where Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord is the best sacred place for performing any religious ceremonies. At the present day, especially in big cities, people live in small apartments and are not able to establish a deity or temple. Under the circumstances, therefore, the centers and temples being established by the expanding Krishna consciousness movement are the best sacred places for performing religious ceremonies. Although people in general are no longer interested in religious ceremonies or deity worship, the Krishna consciousness movement gives everyone the chance to advance in spiritual life by becoming Krishna conscious. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruh Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. In the previous verses, Narad Muni has been describing the auspicious times at which religious ceremonies, vows, etc. can be performed and observed. And in these two verses, and also in a few of the verses to come after this, he will describe the proper places in which such ceremonies are best performed for the greatest benefit. In these two verses, he mentions three places. First is a place where Satpatram Yatra Labhyate, Satpatram Prabhupada translates as a Vaishnava. Wherever a Vaishnava is available, that's the best place to perform any religious ceremony. The second is Bimbam Bhagavato Yatra Sarvameta Characharam. Bimba refers to the deity of the Lord. wherever yatra bhagavato bimbam, wherever there is a deity of the Lord who is present in the hearts of all moving and non-moving living entities, such a place is also a perfect place for performing religious activities. And the third place is yatraha brahmanakulam tapo vidya dayanvitam, wherever qualified brahmanas are performing austerities, gaining knowledge and bestowing mercy, such a place is also an ideal place for performing religious ceremonies. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a nice pastime that is described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in relation to the activities of Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur. And this happened much before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world. Advaita Acharya was more than 50 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, almost 52 years. And Haridas Thakur was about 17 years younger than Advaita Acharya. So both Haridas Thakur and Advaita Acharya were, in years, by mundane calculation, quite senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they had met each other long before Mahaprabhu advented. So it is described that Haridas Thakur was wandering in different places and he came upon a place, Chandapur, where the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami resided. Their names were Govardhan Mazumdar and Hiranya Mazumdar. And there, a momentous conversation or a dialogue took place. Haridas Thakur, at the request of the assembled people, spoke about the glories of the holy name. But there was one caste brahmana called Gopal Chakravarti there, and he didn't like it. And he was a smartha, one who was more attached to the ritualistic religious ceremonies than to the devotional service of the Lord. And he began to criticize Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur spoke at length, justifying his point that the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is not liberation. Liberation is just a byproduct of chanting the holy name. The actual fruit of chanting the holy name is to get Krishna prema, love of Godhead. And at that time, the brahmana cursed Haridas Thakur, and there was a tumultuous uproar in the assembly, and they all condemned this brahmana. Later, this brahmana developed leprosy as a result of the offense towards Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur wasn't happy at this development, so he left the place. He had been staying at the house of Balarama Acharya, so he left and he went to Shantipur, to the house of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was very happy to see Haridas Thakur. He offered him obeisances. Haridas Thakur also offered obeisances. And Advaita Acharya, understanding Haridas Thakur to be a great Vaishnava, had a special cave made for him on the bank of the Ganga in a solitary place, where Haridas Thakur used to stay and perform his bhajan, his chanting of the holy names. And every day, the two of them would have a discussion or Krishna Katha. Advaita Acharya would explain how the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita talk only about Krishna consciousness, about bhakti. And every day, Kaviraj Goswami explains, Haridas Thakur would accept alms, ALMS, not ARMS, in the house of Advaita Acharya, bhiksha. He would accept prasadam. And when this was going on for some time, Haridas Thakur was acutely embarrassed. Being a very great devotee of the Lord, he was very humble by nature and considered himself very unqualified. And he also was well aware of the social norms and the restrictions. And here was he, a person born in a Muslim family that is considered a Yavana or a Mlecha, those who are not even in the Varnashrama system. And there was Advaita Acharya, who was not only the greatest Vaishnava, but also who was born in a very high class Brahmana family. So it was not the custom that an outcast, a so-called outcast, quote-unquote, like Haridas Thakur, should come and dine in the house of a high-class Brahmana like Advaita Acharya. It was a subject of criticism. Many people would also criticize Haridas Thakur anyway because they considered him a Muslim who was chanting the names of the Hindu gods. So such was the kind of misunderstandings that were prevalent at that time. So Haridas Thakur didn't want to put Advaita Acharya in an awkward position. He didn't mind that the people at large criticized him, but he didn't want the people to criticize Advaita Acharya. So one day he said to Advaita Acharya, "My dear Acharya, you are such a high-class Brahmana, and I am an outcast. So it is really improper for me to come and eat prasadam in your house. In fact, you will be the object of much criticism from the society." So Advaita Acharya heard him out and he said, "My dear Haridas, please know that my behavior is strictly in accordance to the injunctions of the revealed scriptures. You are a Vaishnava, an elevated pure devotee of the Lord, a Paramahamsa. And actually feeding you is better than or greater than feeding even a million Brahmanas. So therefore my activity is perfect. So therefore please accept from me the Shraddha Patra." Now the Shraddha ceremony, as we have discussed in the earlier verses, is a ceremony that is performed for the benefit of departed ancestors, parents, and even previous generations. And what is done is that Vishnu Prasad or Prasadam of Lord Krishna is offered to the forefathers. And then after this ceremony, as part of this ceremony, once the forefathers have been offered this Krishna Prasadam, then that Prasadam is offered to some very qualified, elevated Brahmanas who are specially invited to be part of the Shraddha ceremony. And one among them especially is chosen to receive the Shraddha Patra, the vessel, the direct Mahaprasadam. And then the ceremony is over after giving of different items of charity and so on. So Advaita Acharya offered the Shraddha Patra, which was generally given only to a person born in a Brahmana family, to Haridas Thakur. Advaita Acharya wanted to make a point. "Not only will I invite you here to my house for prasadam, but I will on the contrary bestow upon you the honor of being the recipient of the Shraddha Patra." So he sent out a message loud and clear to the whole world that it doesn't matter where one is born, what kind of family one is born. If one is a pure devotee of Krishna, if one is an elevated Vaishnava, then one is eligible to participate in and in fact preside over all kinds of religious ceremonies. What to speak of Shraddhas, but even ceremonies like installation of the deity of the Lord and so on and so forth. We also see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling, he came to Mathura and he met a Sanodiya Brahmana. The Sanodiya Brahmana and Mahaprabhu immediately took a liking to each other. They recognized in each other certain symptoms. And the Sanodiya Brahman, upon hearing the relationship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Madhavendra Puri, was overjoyed. And he said, "Oh, I also am a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri Pad came to my house and he took prasadam here." Now the Varnashrama system or the divisions of the castes are very complicated actually. The Sanodiya Brahmins are not considered in the regular Brahmana class. They are slightly lower class Brahmanas because they deal with Vaishyas. They are supposed to minister to the religious needs and ceremonies of certain class of Vaishyas and not even the high class Vaishyas, those who are in the lower class Vaishyas. Like Agarwals, Kanwars, not Agarwals, Sanwars, Kalwars and so on. So these Brahmanas are not supposed to be high class Brahmanas. And therefore the sannyasis and so on, the Brahmanas were not supposed to dine at their place. That was a social custom. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered, Madhavendra Puri considered it good enough to dine at your place, so why should I not dine at your place? After all, Mahajano Yena Gatahasa Pantha, one follows in the footsteps of the great devotees. You are a Vaishnava, and therefore Madhavendra Puri considered it fit to come to your house and accept prasadam. So I also consider it supremely fit. So we see that wherever a Vaishnava is present, then all auspiciousness is present. Doesn't matter what caste, creed, community, etc. he belongs to. The second, incidentally, the third place that is mentioned here is a place where Brahmanas perform austerities. But as we have already seen from the statements of Advaita Acharya, that where a Vaishnava like Haridas Thakur is present, we can consider that a million Brahmanas are present. So one doesn't actually need to go separately to non-devotee Brahmanas. For us, a Vaishnava is sufficient. The second place that is mentioned here in this verse by Narad Muni as being a proper place for performance of religious ceremonies is a temple of the Lord, where there is a deity of Lord Krishna. Because the Lord is present here, it becomes very pure. And we will hear more about this in the next verse tomorrow, where Prabhupada also gives a very nice purport about the significance of the temple of the Lord. But since there is something mentioned here about the temples, I will discuss also something about why it is important to come to a temple. What kind of religious ceremonies are performed in the temple? First and most important, the congregational chanting of the holy names. Even the japa that we chant privately, softly. There is elaborate deity worship, there is arati, there is wonderful foodstuffs offered to the Lord. One takes darshan of the Lord. And there is katha, Krishna katha that goes on, and many, many other types of religious ceremonies and festivals take place. And therefore, it is important to come to the temple of the Lord. Sometimes people ask, what is the need to go to the temple? After all, God is everywhere. I'm sure some of you have heard this argument, that God is everywhere, so I don't need to go to the temple. So Srila Prabhupada had a nice repartee for this. And he said, well, if God is everywhere, then he's also in the temple. So what is the harm in going to the temple? So come to the temple and see the Lord. Here he is. When people say, show me God, we bring them to the temple and say, well, here is God. So Srila Prabhupada had a very prompt response to such a statement. Why should I go to the temple? The Lord is everywhere. The second response we could give to this statement is, yes, of course God is everywhere, but do you have the eyes to see him everywhere? It's just a convenient statement people make to avoid coming to the temple. It's some kind of rationalization of their lack of desire to surrender to the Lord. So because we don't have the spiritual vision to see God everywhere, it is necessary to come to the temple and see the Lord who has manifested here to bestow mercy upon us. The Supreme Lord actually has a spiritual form. And to see that spiritual form, one needs spiritual eyes, Divya Chakshu. We do not have spiritual eyes, well, at least not yet, or at least not me. So the Lord very kindly has appeared or manifested himself within material elements like stone, wood, clay, and so on, painting even, to accept our service and to give us his personal audience, that is his darshan. So when the Lord thus manifests within material elements, those material elements do not remain material elements. They now become completely spiritualized and they become directly the Lord himself. Pratima nahi tumi sakshat Vrajendra Nandana. So it's not, you are not a statue, my dear Lord. You are directly the son of Nanda Maharaj. So one comes here and actually sees the form of the Lord. And one begins to understand, yes, this is God. So by learning to see the form of the Lord here and appreciating the form and appreciating the beauty of the Lord and all that goes with the service of the Lord in the temple, one actually develops one's spiritual vision. And therefore we come to the third point of why one should come to a temple, even though the Lord is everywhere. Srila Prabhupada said, in India there are numerous temples, millions of temples everywhere. But people generally just go to these temples, maybe take darshan, bow their head, maybe offer a little donation and go away. That's fine and good. But the real purpose of a temple, Srila Prabhupada explained, is that it should be a place for spiritual education. It's a place where we get knowledge about Krishna, where we get inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness, where we have a proper atmosphere in which we can advance in our Krishna consciousness. It's a place of training. It's a college or a university of Krishna consciousness. Because we come here, we hear from the devotees, we chant with the devotees, we see the Lord, we take prasadam. So the temple of the Lord is a place of spiritual education and training. And somebody may say, well, I could do the training at home. I could practice Krishna consciousness at home. The answer is yes, you can and you must. Just as your child must study at home, but your child, you do send him to school also. You don't simply rely on just teaching him a few things at home. So we can and must practice Krishna consciousness at home, but the temple of the Lord is a very special place where we actually develop so much inspiration, so much knowledge. We associate with the devotees and get strength to practice our Krishna consciousness. Of course, when we come here and develop our Krishna consciousness, we develop the vision to see Krishna everywhere gradually. This is the meaning of developing spiritual vision, that we learn to see the Lord everywhere. Initially, we learn to see the Lord as a deity, which he is, of course. But as our Krishna consciousness grows, we understand that the Lord actually resides everywhere. He is in the heart of every living entity. He is within every atom. He is everywhere. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the nine Yogendras, they teach King Nimi about the different states of spiritual development. And in one verse they say, Acharyam eva haraye, pujayam shraddhaye hite, natad bhaktascha anyeshu, sa bhaktah prakritah smritaha. They say that there are some devotees who may understand that the Lord is only to be worshipped in the temple. They have faith. Archayam Haraye. Haraye means unto of Lord Hari or Krishna. So the deity of Lord Krishna, they worship. Pujayam Shraddhayehite. They faithfully worship the deity of the Lord or come and take darshan of the Lord. But Tad Bhakteshu Cha Anyeshu. They do not know how to behave with the devotees of the Lord. And even with others, Cha Anyeshu. In behavior, they are not good. They have faith that the deity is non-different from the Lord. But when it comes to behavior, they are deficient, they are inadequate. And therefore, they are called Prakrita Bhakta. Bhakta means devotee, Prakrita means materialistic. So they are considered materialistic devotees, even though they have faith that the deity is non-different from the Lord, because they do not know how to behave or how to deal with other people, devotees as well as non-devotees. So it is important that we behave properly not just with devotees, but also with non-devotees. We may think, well, with devotees I have to be cautious because I might commit Vaishnava aparad, so I'll deal nicely with them, but with non-devotees or karmis I can be a little free. No. But a good devotee will behave gently even with non-devotees. Gradually, one makes advancement. Then one's vision expands, and then one comes to the platform of a Madhyama. Now this stage that I just mentioned is a platform of a Kanishtha, what Prabhupada calls a neophyte. And then we come to the platform of a Madhyama, one who is at the medium level. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu dvishat sujat prema maitri kripopeksha yah karoti sa madhyamah. So there are four categories. One is Ishvara, that is the Supreme Lord Krishna. The second are the devotees, tad adhineshu, those who have taken shelter of Krishna, tad adhina. The third are balisheshu, those who are innocent, childlike. They're ignorant, but they're innocent. And the fourth category are those who are dvishatsu, who are envious of the Supreme Lord and of the devotees. So the Madhyama devotee distinguishes between these four categories. As far as the Lord is concerned, he has love for the Lord, prema. As far as tad adhina, those who are his devotees, maitri, he develops a mood of friendship with them. What about those who are innocent, who are ignorant but innocent? Kripa, he bestows his mercy upon them. He's very friendly, bestows very kind upon them to give them Krishna consciousness. And what about those who are very envious, very, very opposed to Krishna consciousness and to the devotees? Upeksha, he neglects them, he ignores them. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a Madhyam Bhagavat's neglect of the non-devotees is his mercy upon them. Why so? Because if he were to interact with them, there would always be a possibility or a likelihood that that non-devotee would blaspheme the devotees or Krishna or something like that. So better to stay away. Like Ajamil, he had committed so many blunders in his life, so many mistakes, but the one thing he hadn't done so far was Vaishnava aparad. Similarly, it is said about Jagai and Madhai. They had committed all the possible sins, but they hadn't yet committed Vaishnava aparad till Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu approached them. So, this is the way the Madhyam Bhagavat means devotee, he deals with everybody. He makes a distinction. So for the sake of preaching, he has to. And then there are those who become even more advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sarva bhuteshu yah pashyet bhagavat bhavam atmanah bhutani bhagavati atmani sa esha bhagavatottamah. Now this is a uttama bhagavat, the best devotee of the Lord. What does he do? Sarva bhuteshu yah pashyet bhagavat bhavam atmanah. He sees everybody, in everybody, he sees Krishna present. Oh, Krishna is present in all these living entities. Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani. So Krishna is present in all the living entities, and all the living entities are within Krishna. So one who sees things in this way is called the topmost devotee of the Lord. And this is spoken about by Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita also, in the 6th chapter. Sarvabhuta sthamatmanam sarvabhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshanaha. Where he says, my dear Arjuna, that the topmost yogi sees everything in me and me in everything. This is the topmost vision. And the very next verse he says, the famous verse, yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tasya ham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. For one who sees me in everything and everything in me, he is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So such a devotee whose vision is thus expanded is very, very dear to Krishna. This is the platform we hope to achieve, where Krishna is so deeply present in our vision that we of course still come and see the deity of the Lord. We want to see him face to face, but we also understand that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us a very wonderful phenomenon, a wonderful activity, a wonderful state of consciousness, shall we say, where even going beyond seeing the Lord everywhere, one feels separation. One feels, I haven't seen Krishna. He Radhe Vrajadevi Keche Lalite He Nanda Suno Kutaha. The 6 Goswamis were constantly going around Vraja, chanting, O Radharani, where are you? O Krishna, where are you? O associates, O Lalita, O Vishakha, where are you? This is the mood of separation, Vipralambha, that was practiced by, or that was not practiced actually, that was demonstrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mood of separation that is considered the highest. Srila Prabhupada said that the 6 Goswamis did not say, yes, I have found Krishna. They were always thinking, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I am so unfortunate. I haven't seen Krishna. And Prabhupada says, this is wanted. Meaning that we have to try to hanker to see Krishna like this. It is this hankering to see Krishna that will make our vision perfect. So therefore, coming to the temples of the Lord have these benefits, because eventually we can develop this kind of a vision. Someone may still say, well, I have the deity at home and I'm worshipping the deity at home. So if coming to the temple, because the deities are present, is the only reason to come to the temple, but then I have deities at home. And the answer is, well, yes, the deities are at home too. But in the temple you have something special, you have the Vaishnavas. And you can be in the association of Vaishnavas and chant and dance. You can hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, take prasadam with the devotees. So therefore there is something special. After all, the yoga dharma for this age is Sankirtana Yajna. Perfect kirtan, not just kirtan. Perfect kirtan is that which is done in the association of devotees, collectively. So the act of collectively chanting the holy names makes it perfect. So that's the reason we understand that the temple of the Lord is a perfect place, the best place for performing all sorts of religious and spiritual ceremonies, because the Lord is present, the devotees are present. And where the Lord and devotees are present, then there is all auspiciousness. Hare Krishna. Thank you. It's 8:30. Are there any questions or comments?